Angrati, how is it going here?
It's busy.
Busy? Yeah, it's okay? Or is it too much?
No.
No, it's not. Minal, how is it going? Huh? Everything under control? Hmm? Shivani, how is it going? Everything under control? Say no more. Gundan, you have moved the hair again now. Huh? Where you stay? Huh? Vinod? How long you stay? Good timing, huh? You get the message now? Good. Just sit there right now. Don't do a thing. Just rest. Just relax. Don't do anything. Just rest. For your separation from God is the hardest work in this world. Let me bring you some trays of food and something that you like to drink. Then you can use my soft words as a cushion for your head and just rest. Don't do a thing, just sit there. There was a Sufi master, very well known. Then the emperor, must have been a very good emperor. He heard about him and he wanted to become his disciple, his follower. So then when he came to him, the master just said, if you really want to be with me, then the first thing you do for 1 week, dress like a beggar. You are just roaming the streets of your city, begging for food, sleeping in the street with the homeless people. No, that is too much, he said. Please, don't. I can't do that. I'm the emperor. What will people say then? That is too humiliating. Can't I do it at least in the neighboring state? Then I will do it. No, no. You have to do it here. But in this conversation with the master, something got triggered. He could sense something in the eyes of the master that he knew, no, it's no or never. So he said, okay. Then after 1 week, he came back. And the master said, how did it go now? And then he just fell to Master's feet and said, "You freed me from my whole burden, my image, my conditioning, my thinking that I was an emperor, I was higher than others. Thank God that you came, that I listened. No, you can do anything you want with me. I'm free from the past. I don't care. Because now I'm happy. I understood why you wanted to do it." And then the master said, "No, it doesn't matter anymore what you do. You can be an emperor. You will be a very good emperor. Because now you're not identified with your image, with who you are, the burden of the ego. No, it doesn't matter anymore what you do." End of story. Beloved Babaji, I have said many times before, and again, after being in Assisi with you, how special this silence is. How can I put words on it? It's not really possible. My mind can never grasp it. Like, it can't be touched. It's really nothing to grasp. It just is. Yes, Kumbhut, that is how it is. You cannot even grasp the air. You cannot grasp love. You cannot grasp freedom. You cannot grasp silence. You cannot grasp yourself either. Because all that is real is beyond the physical, no? And this is the miracle, when you have realized that, then you are just in awe, you become part of it. This is the division. If you haven't touched that, then everything functions out of the mind. When you have touched that space, then everything becomes miraculous. But you can't say anything. You are entering into another dimension. That's where the master wants to take you, beyond the known. It's just is. But this isness can only be touched in the silence. You cannot do anything, it just happens. My mind is trying to understand what I'm saying, but I will let it go. I'm just grateful to feel it, and I can see many times at work, for example, when it's hectic, a voice is always pulling me back, asking myself, "Why do I stress?" Or telling me not to lose myself. I can be stressed, but there is something there that is still untouched by it. And then it feels totally fine to have a hectic shift at work. Yes. That's the art of living. That's what I just said. It doesn't matter what you do. Because you are silence itself. It's just not to be involved with it. That doesn't mean your body can be very active, very hectic, doing a lot of things. But that is just the surface. It's nothing to do with who you are. That is freedom. So you're touching something very valuable there. That's why I ask, how is it going? Everything is okay, or is it very busy? Everything under control? Because who cares about control when you're coming from that space? It doesn't matter what's happening. You just watch it. The body do whatever is needed. Your actions will happen. But you are untouched by it. That is freedom when you are alive. Otherwise, everybody gets lost in the action because they know only the physical. Then you get lost in the action, then you get stressed. And that is the new super disease in the Western world, stress and depression. Depression. How come we got so depressed? Now we have everything we need, and it's never been like this before. Everybody is depressed, burned out, stressed, tense. Because we have lost ourselves in the outside, in things, and we have forgotten that silent center. That is the whole journey of coming back. Thankful for those moments that I see and feel that. I really have to be aware to take care of myself, but everything becomes so much more beautiful with you in my life. What you are sharing and showing me. This beauty, the love and the silence, the wonders of life. Thank you, my beautiful, loving master. I love you, yours Kumud. I love you too. That's the art of being a disciple. Nothing is done. You just fall more and more in tune with yourself, with the master. It's an effortless thing. This is impossible. It's impossible even for the one who is playing the role of the master to say anything about it. Because it has nothing to do with the mind. And most people just listen from the mind. It is an experience. And in that experience, everything is understood. And then you don't even need to say anything because you can just look into the eyes and you know, or that person is present. Otherwise, sometimes you can look into the eyes and there's nobody home. It's just a bundle of thoughts, of confusion. My beloved Guru of truth, of love, of fire, to sit with you in satsang has ignited an inner explosion on a level that is difficult to describe. To to see and feel you in this new environment in Assisi, just sharing yourself, pouring truth and love for so many new people have moved me in a new and unexpected way. I could feel the pain for the blindness of people not being able to receive you, the misunderstandings of the minds, but also the beauty of new hearts being touched by your beauty, your fire, your truth. So there was a mix of feelings and an immense gratitude and admiration for the master that you are, feeling how much you are offering yourself to us and to the new people. And yet, in the middle of so much that you were giving and pouring, to feel your compassion working hard on the people close to you and your disciples, fearlessly, not losing any opportunity to wake us up, to make us grow, not compromising anything but only serving the truth, many times so hard for the egos to understand. Beloved, you give me everything I need. You give me the fire to truly look. You give me the mirror to see what I long the most. In deep love and gratitude for having found you, the light of my life. Yours always, Sana. It's a very beautiful letter, and I will go into it a bit because it's important for everybody to learn. I will read you something. That my master Osho said, and it all comes down to if people are really a disciple or not. That is the bottom line. Because if that is not clear, then of course there will be conflict. You haven't understood the game we are playing. A disciple is one who wants to learn, who wants to empty, who wants to go into the unknown, no? So then, if that is not clear, you're protecting yourself to grow, then this is not the place. But this is what every master, every teacher who's talking about the truth, they have to face. It's always been like that. There's no way around it. Osho says, the greatest art in the world is to be a disciple. It cannot be compared to anything. It is unique and incomparable. Nothing like it exists in any other relationship. Nothing like it can exist. To be a disciple, to be with the master, is to move into the unknown. You cannot be aggressive there. If you are aggressive, the unknown will never be revealed to you. It cannot be revealed to an aggressive mind. The very nature of it is such that you have to be receptive, not aggressive. The search for truth is not an active search. It is a deep passivity. In your deep passivity, only there you will receive. But if you become too active and concerned, you will mix. It is like being a womb. It is feminine. You receive the truth as a woman receives a pregnancy. Remember this. Then many things will become easier to understand. The master has to watch this again and again, how the minds are fighting the truth. How much resistance it is to grow. Because maybe they say that they want to grow. They want to be disciple. They want to be sannyasin. They want to be free. But they are not ready to let go of the past, of their image. Then it's impossible. And it's the first thing, again and again, I'm telling you, it's the first thing that has to go. That's why I told you that story in the beginning with the Sufi master. How can you learn anything new if you are the old? It's impossible. It will be a fight. And to go into the new is totally unknown. And the more empty you are, the more available you are, the more you are available for the new, for the now, for this moment. And that is where the master is living. It's impossible to meet from the past. To be near a master is just to be a passivity, absorbing whatever the master gives, or whatever and whatsoever the master is not asking. The moment you start asking, you have become aggressive. The receptivity is lost. You have become active. The passive, the feminine, is no longer there. Nobody has ever reached the truth as a male, aggressive, violent. And remember, the woman can be also male because the mind itself is male, is aggressive, is doubting, it's on guard, is protection. And now, in the modern world, and especially in the West, many women become more masculine than men. They have forgotten their own femininity. It's not possible to reach the truth in any aggressive, violent way. You can only reach very silently. In fact, you just wait and truth reaches you. The truth seeks you like water seeks some hollow ground. It moves downwards, finds a place, and becomes a big lake. That is the art of being receptive, of being a disciple. You have to go on emptying just sitting there, and slowly, slowly, you will be filled. The mind cannot understand it because it's not a doing. It's a non-doing, but it's happening. That's why Osho says it's the highest so-called relationship, the greatest art. It cannot be compared to anything. So, now back to your letter. Because it's very important, these things, it has to be, because otherwise, why should I read about it? Why should it come up? I'm just a servant of the truth, so whatever is happening, I can't be involved. I'm just doing it. I'm helpless. I'm sorry. And again I said, if you don't want to listen to the truth, then this is not the place. And truth is very disturbing if you live in lies. The more you live in lies and shallowness and ideas and false things, the more terrible the truth will be. It's always been like that. But if you want to be real, you have to go through the fire of truth. There's no way around it. And that is what is happening in satsang. That's what the master is offering. It's only for those who are ready to go through that fire, to get purified, to lose themselves, to empty themselves, to become just receptive. Silent. So, you said to sit with you in satsang and to see and feel you in this new environment, sharing yourself, pouring truth and love for so many new people has moved me in a new and unexpected way. Yes, it is the first time. In maybe at least 17 years that I had so many new people. And that is the reason, because I want people to go through that they really want to come. I traveled all over the world and had open house and gave satsangs. But it didn't work because people are not thirsty. And that's how many people are doing, is open house. Then you talk, should we go to the movie or should we go to the satsang? Oh, is somebody here? Is somebody is having satsang? Should we go there or should we do that? Because that is the level you are on. So it was a new experience for me to, like I was joking in Brazil, I'm going into the unknown, I said. And which is great. And it is a nice place there. And who knows? God willing, we will go back. Who knows? Because I love the Italians. Italians were very nice people. And I could see many thirsty for the truth. And I could see I ignited them. Something was happening. And the longing for love, for truth, for the divine. But, of course, many people were also shocked because they never heard anybody talking the truth. That is how it has to be. I could feel the pain for the blindness of people not being able to receive you, the misunderstanding of the minds, but also the beauty of the new hearts being touched by your beauty, your fire. It's always been like that. Somebody loves the fire, and somebody say, "Oh, I get burnt," and then they run away. No, that is okay. An immense gratitude and admiration for the master that you are, feeling how much you are offering yourself to us and to the new people. The master, he shares equally. It doesn't matter. Because he sees the potential in everybody. And he doesn't talk to the mind, he talks to your essence. And the more you have reconnected with your own essence, the more you will be in tune, the more you will be in synchronicity with the truth, with the master. The further away you are, the more difficult it is to hear the truth. Because you are too burdened by your own ideas, your own mind. And that is the heaviness and what you call the misunderstanding. Because you know that the master is there to share his love, his truth. And it's a great possibility to be transformed. But it's always been like that. In fact, many great enlightened beings like Krishnamurti, he was very upset in a way. He was like he had missed because people didn't get it. He was talking for 60 years. And the outcome which he thought, my God, he's talking the truth all the time. But nothing happened. They were just listening. And it's not so easy just to listen. You have to work hard on yourself. And that's where I feel that Krishnamurti went wrong. And he was missing a very great ingredient, which I call love. Because you cannot just talk about the truth. Truth feels dry. You have to connect with the human heart. That is the gateway. If you come to the heart, then you can access into the truth and the beyond. But he didn't give any techniques. So everything he said was truth. But there's no way to get there, no technique to get there. And already you have so much in your head. You have to empty to be able to receive the truth. And yet, in the middle of so much of your offerings and giving and pouring, to feel your compassion working hard on the people close to you, your disciples, fearlessly. It's not even a question of fearlessly, because when there is no fear, it doesn't even come up. It's just totally spontaneous, natural. Because when you are devoted to the whole, is effortless. There's nothing to lose. And there's nobody there to prove anything. From the side of the master, everything looks so simple. And they can't understand what the big fuss is about. He wants to give you the sweetest things. and you reject. It's impossible. But out of his love and compassion, he's trying this way, that way. Maybe by tickling you, you open them out a little bit, and boop, a little bit inside, just a little bit, and then maybe, no, you don't, you know, you are very, very British, so you don't laugh much. Then maybe he has to hit you, and then, ow, and then he puts something inside. And then by surprise, wow, what was that sweet taste? Then you forget your seriousness. In all different ways, he has to try different people in their conditioning, in their so-called traumas, identities, the burden of the past that you are carrying. That is the art. In all different ways, he has to find a way in. Not losing any opportunity to wake us up. No, I don't want to lose any opportunity because this is my business. And if that is clear, then we play beautiful together. We have a jolly or good time. Otherwise, is problems. Which, again and again comes up. Because people are blind. They don't want to wake up. My business is to wake you up, and you don't want to wake up. What to do then? Then we go on playing this, and then misunderstanding hurts. Ego, bruised egos. Deflated egos, pumped up egos, in different shades and colors. What can I do? This is what is happening here. If that is clear from the beginning, no problem. And in India, they always said, if when you come to a guru, when you come to a master, you bow down. You want to learn. But that is almost impossible because people have no idea when they come to a master. It takes time. But you, as close disciples, you have felt, you know what is happening, and you have tasted the results when you listen. So the master, he has to go on shocking, hitting, tickling you. Because you don't know yourself that you are asleep. You don't know that you are a slave to your habits, to your identity. Not losing any opportunity to make us grow, not compromising anything but only serving the truth. So many times, so hard for the egos to understand. It is impossible for the egos to understand. But I'm also helpless because that is what the work of the master is. If it's just a goody-goody master, the master is just sitting there, oh, do this mantra, oh, mana, padma, oh, nothing will happen. You can sit there nice, sweet, forever, nothing will happen. You need shocks, you need friction, you need challenges to wake up, to transform. And so many of you have seen that. And you are transformed. And many that hasn't touched that yet. It's always sweet to sit with an enlightened being. But you have to work consciously on yourself to integrate it. I'm not compromising anything because I am a servant of truth. That's my business. And I'm not compromising my love either. Even if that love will hurt you, that love will only transform you in the end. And that I know. Of course, if the ego is too fat, then you can run away. But that is always the risk. Why should I care anyway to hurt anybody? Look at this man. What can he do? What an absurd thing. It's just, how can the ego be so arrogant? So self-destructive. Everything in the ego, everything gets forgotten because it gets hurt. It feels separated. That is the pain of being ego. You feel separated. And all the thing the master wants to bring you in, that see that you are a part of everything, like everything is. There is no separation. But the master has remembered and you have forgotten. This is the work. Trying to make you free, you fight. No, you understand, I say so many times, people get enlightened, they just want to disappear in the caves or in the mountain. Or just say nothing, like a Sufi master, just, okay, have a few people around and sell his grocery. Because what a mess to get involved with all the egos. Who doesn't know they want to wake up, but they think, they dream about it. They dream about God, enlightenment, everything. But to transform, you have to go through a holy fire. That fire happens sometimes very spontaneously, effortlessly. I never had any problem. So it's very funny for me to see how much fighting is going on in the name of the dark forces of the ego. But what to do? This is how it is. So this is the dilemma. I cannot do anything except all this love and truth and compassion to wake people up, because that's what my mission is, it seems like. I'm helpless in that respect. I have surrendered to love, to truth. So that will not change. So the only thing that has to change is you. And if you want to protect your misery, your hurt, then pack your big suitcases with hurt and pain and past and traumas and run away. But you will never be happy. And life is going. And it doesn't matter if you are 70 or if you are 30. Life is going very quick. Oh, it's good to be home. Huh? Our own place, now it's very good. I know, like, you're my children, so I have to take it. It's okay, we go to Thailand, go to Brazil, go to Italy. You know, and it is nice there. It is nice. It's nice energy there because enlightened people have been there. It's the first place in Europe that I have felt that energy that I know very well. In India, I have hundreds of places like that. But in Europe, hello. So it was very nice there. And look how many nice things that came out of it. I could share, no one like this. It's beautiful. And then Sana also, look now. Beloved, you give me everything I need. You give me the fire to truly look. You give me the mirror to see what I long for the most. That's what I'm here for. Prema Abdu, she wrote me also, and she said that almost 70 years it took to become free of the past. Huh? Realizing only now how you work on us all the time and hammering your love, your truth into our iron skulls. And this is the truth. No, it's from her own experience. And she learned a lot from this also. And I want people to see, I want them to go be free. I want to get them out of their thick skulls. Because it's something different inside there. When that identification with the iron skull is gone, with the heavy ego is gone. Almost 70 years it took to become free of the past. And only because being with me, it happened. And thank you for bringing the light into my life. In deep love, Premadhu. I work on you all the time. Because I know that you are already free. But you have forgotten. And then you have to play all these games and all the hurts and all the projections and all the defenses and all the ideas. Because it's so difficult to accept that you are really free, you are really happy. Then you have to live it. And you know your hurt, you know your burdens, you know so well all your problems. It's much easier to stick to that. But I will always challenge you to be free. Osho was talking about Litusu and Lao Tzu. Litusu was Lao Tzu's disciple. Osho said, a master has to haunt and work on disciple continuously. And sometimes he has to be very hard, out of compassion. He has to work continuously. But if you live in the ego, then you live in separation. Then it's right and wrong, hard and soft. But in reality, it's not like that. It's a totally different rules. And that the mind cannot understand, the ego cannot understand. This Osho says he has to be very hard sometimes, out of compassion. The master has to be hard out of compassion because he has to shake you up. There's no way around it. Only when your own conscience has evolved, you are free. It has to come something from your own understanding, when that can only come when the past is gone, when the healing has happened, when the rest has really settled, when the trust is totally there, your heart is totally in tune with the truth, with the master. Only then your own true conscience will come up. A conscience that is unpolluted by your past, by your ego, by your identity. As long as that social conscience is there, which is just from society, then you will always be misunderstood. Because it's not you, it's not yours. And the master has to work hard for you to lose that. So your true conscience, your true seeing can happen. Your true understanding can happen. And that can only happen when you have a glimpse of your own true essence. Then you know what the master is talking about. And then a deep trust that you can go follow him anywhere. Because you know, you have the proof yourself. And it's worth it to leave anything. All this is just games in reality. Osho says, once your own conscience has arisen, there is no need for the master to be hard on you. He had to be hard because you had a false conscience in the first place. And that has to be destroyed. And he is talking about maybe some hard masters, that I don't know. You must be getting hungry now, no? Or you were hungry also for this? Okay. Then I have to read you the last of what Osho said with the greatest art he calls being a disciple. I call it the greatest art. Why? Because between the master and the disciple, the greatest mystery is lived. The deepest is lived. The highest flows. It is a relationship between the known and the unknown, between the finite and the infinite, between time and eternity, between the seed and the flower, between the actual and the potential, between the past and the future. A disciple is only the past, and the master is only the future. And here, this moment, in their deep love and waiting, they meet. The disciple opens. The disciple is time. The master is eternity. The disciple is the mind, and the master is no mind. The disciple is all that he knows, and the master is all that cannot be known. When the bridge happens between the master and the disciple, it is a miracle. It is to bridge the known with the unknown. It is a miracle. Time with eternity. It is truly a miracle. And that is the possibility. Aum Shanti. And I am the living proof of that. And in reality, nobody can get hurt because only a personality, only an ego, only the false, only something that is separated from the whole can be hurt. And that's not what I'm interested in, not at all. I'm interested in the real you. And reclaiming that, waking up to that, which is almost impossible without an enlightened being. You are free. Nothing can get stirred. then you are a true friend. It was another story that I almost forgot. In Assisi. Okay. I heard when I left that Rai was there, no? And he has kept it together. It was no drinking. All those days I had satsang. And you did really good because I could see like it was some clear energy around. But as soon as the master was gone, then I heard you did some naughty things there. And you shouldn't do that because Assisi is a holy town. And I already have a very good reputation there. I was around in all the holy places. I talked with the priests and all these monks, the Franciscan monks and all that. So I want my people to behave there. So just for everybody to know, like all the things I'm sharing with you, that you shouldn't do these things. Because I heard from my friend, Father Silvio, who had that church down the street from the plaza there. That one late evening, he was just going to close. Then the door burst open and Rai comes stumbling in, very drunk. I don't know where Devadasi, normally she keeps an eye on him, but I don't know. Maybe it was one of those evenings. The priest watching in awe, Rai staggers around the church until he finds a confessional booth and goes inside. And there in Assisi, they have a lot of beautiful confessional booth. They are all carved. You must have gone. Even an Irishman goes, and I told all my people, go and look at the beautiful churches. Even I went to the, and it was okay. Then Rai finds the confessional booth and he goes inside. Then Father Silvio, he feels compassion for the poor drunk. and goes to hear his confession. Okay, last thing in the evening, this man really feels like he has a lot he wants to confess. Looking at him, the priest enters his side of the booth and waits for Rai to begin. Rai says nothing, totally quiet, just some grunts and groans. The priest is wondering what is happening. Is it a problem to talk? Is it even poor that he's maybe deaf and dumb or blind? I don't know. Then there is a silence. The priest is becoming more and more worried and also a little impatient and start knocking on the wall. Hey, what's happening? To encourage Rai to be in confession. Rai says, it's no good banging on that wall, Pastor. There is no toilet paper in here either. That's all he left there in Assisi. My God, what can the master do? He's trying. Hariom. So if we go back, leave all that here before you go. Digest and meditate on what we talked about today so your understanding goes deeper. So you remember what is real and why you are here. Aum Shanti.